Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to TGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Today is Saturday, February 4th, 2023, and I want to welcome you tonight. I'll be your host. I'm Carmen, and I'll have Daniel on the line also hosting with me tonight and ministering to those on the line. And I wanted to begin with the topic about vanity. The Lord woke me up this week early, and I really got into the topic about vanity. Well, let's begin with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you're coming soon, and you're coming to bring order. And so we need to be at our best. We need to be ready. You say, you tell your bride to be ready for when you come and you open the door, that you will let them in, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to help us to be ready, that we are not wrapped up in the things of this world and the things that are pursuing things that are not of you. And we ask you that you would help us tonight to understand that and to help us to truly gain the true wisdom, the true things that we need through you, in Jesus' name. And so we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to start with the reading of Ecclesiastes 1. And let me make sure that I want Daniel to read it for me. Let's see. Daniel, you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can you read that for me?
Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And I'll be reading 1 through 11. The vanity of life, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes towards the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. Amen?
Amen. So this is the vanity of life. Things continue. Life continues while people continue to pursue the things that they want. And so in this book, it is believed that it was written by Solomon. It says the son of David. So it is believed. And who better to have written that book, because he had it all. He had 700 wives. He had 300 concubines. He had all the money that he wanted. He knew. He had wisdom. He knew about all of this. He had many things. And he says that as he searched for the meaning of life, he found that searching for pleasure, work, power, wealth, and human wisdom were all vanity. What is vanity? I looked up the definition of vanity, and it says, excessive pride in or admiration of one's own appearance or achievements. The quality of being worthless or futile, incapable of producing any useful result, pointless. In other words, vanity, pursuing things in vanity is pointless. It's not going to produce any useful thing. Vanity is an inflated pride in oneself or in one's appearance, conceit, something that is vain. That's where the word vain comes from. It, empty or valueless. Vanity is selfish. It is the fact that you are too interested in your own appearance or achievement. It's pride. You trying to do this life in your own pursuits, you looking for what you think in your own ways, is pride. What does God say about vanity? He says, and we'll read this. Daniel, can you read that for me in Philippians 2? 3-4.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen.
So that's loving God and loving others for the interests of others. And last week we talked about how the world is getting into this homosexual style, lifestyle, and that bandwagon. And the Pope, we mentioned the Pope saying that it wasn't a sin, and then retracted from that because he got pressure from other people that didn't believe that way. Amy Grant doing the wedding of her gay niece. And another one that bites the dust is Joel Osteen and his wife saying that they would attend a gay wedding out of respect for the people they knew. Loving God and loving others isn't about our own vain agenda. The world would have you believe that they're doing things for others, but in fact, it is about their own selfish conceit, their own pride. It's what people think about them. It's to get people to do what they want them to do. It's about their inflated pride in themselves, in their own appearance, not what is about God. The preacher here, which is believed to be Solomon, says all is vanity, pleasure, work, power, wealth, and human wisdom are all pointless pursuits. And that reminds me of about 2 weeks ago how my grandson told me he had watched this movie that he really liked while at school. And it was The Pursuit of Happiness. He loved how the man overcame his issue and overcame all his obstacles. And he went from poverty into from living in the streets to coming out and becoming wealthy and well-known. Even they made even a movie about it. My friends, that's not the pursuit of happiness. That's all vanity. It's pointless. Nothing of that is going to be taken to the grave. People think that working hard for this and that, they're going to take all that, you know, with them. No. However, God says that how we're supposed to do things without selfish ambition or vain conceit, valuing others above yourselves and not looking to your own interests, but the interests of others, is by obeying. And how do you do this? By obeying the Holy Spirit. Obeying the Holy Spirit gives you true purpose and meaning to your existence. Okay. Let's look at the end of what Ecclesiastes talks. That's the beginning, what the preacher says, that life is all vanity. But let's look at what he learned at the end of his life. And it's in chapter 12. Verse 13 and 14, Daniel.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Amen.
See, everything is going to be judged. So whether we have lived a life of vanity, of pointlessness, of pointless pursuit, or a life following what the Holy Spirit says, it's going to be judged. Everything is going to be judged, even those little secret things that nobody else knows about, whether they're good things or bad things. And I want to be remembered for the good things. And I know that we as humans, we err, and we don't walk in the right ways. And whoever says that they're perfect, you know, you're lying. You're lying, and your mama can say it too. Okay. Therefore, this week and from now on, let's look towards our time left on earth. Whether you're young, whether you're old, look at your time. Look at your time of pleasure. Look at your time of pursuing in your work, in your career, in the power you're looking for, in your wealth, in your human wisdom. Look, let's take a look at that. Let give it all to the Holy Spirit and begin obeying his leading. He will make everything you do have true purpose and have meaning to your existence. Sometimes, you know, we've learned these lessons later on in life. Well, if you've learned some things, well, go and tell the younger people, the people that don't know God. Show them, tell them this is the way that you're supposed to go. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let them know your experiences, how you began. Share what you've learned. That's helping others. That's loving others. But not applauding people's sin. That's not what God wants us. That's not loving others. So don't pursue pleasure. I mean, hey, Solomon, he had pleasure. He had 700 wives. 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had all the money in the world. Don't you think he had all this type of pleasure and work? Or you know, don't pursue work. You know, like this man in the movie of The Pursuit of Happiness, he did. He worked. He worked his tail off. But God doesn't want it. That doesn't bring God glory. That's man. That's conceit. That's pride. Them doing it in their way. And yeah, you can reach a certain point of achievement in your own strength, but it's not lasting. It's not lasting, and it's not eternal. Whatever you do should be thing that will bring God glory, and it should be for eternity. You know, otherwise all this will go and it'll go in your grave and nobody will remember. Nobody will remember you. So, but in heaven, they'll remember you. For his own appearance, this man did, and own achievements. God didn't get the glory in his life. It was for his own attention, for other people to look at him, for his family to see him, his ex-wife to see him, his son to see him, the people that he worked for to see him. Tell God you're sorry for doing things your way, how you want to change. How can you start? But, you know, but just by asking him to help you to change, to help you, to transform you into the servant like Jesus, to leave behind the things that are pointless, that are vain, that are pointless, that are of no use, then you'll truly be happy. And it won't be the happiness because you have things, but because you have God. And then you'll be truly joyful. Then you'll be happy to go to that job, whether it pays a lot or it doesn't pay a lot, and be around other people. Then you'll be truly happy. Then you'll have the joy of God. When you begin to be obedient to his word, then things start happening. There's going to be a change within you. A vain life will leave you empty. It'll leave you all alone. Have you ever heard of people saying that they feel all alone? Why? Because they're in pursuit of all these things to fill them up, and those things can never fill them up. Only God can fill you. Like I said last week, loving God and loving others is not what people think. When you love God, you will tell others the truth. You won't go alone with what they want. You won't go along with what they want, but you will be led by God's truth and lead them in the path of life. Right now, there's many that are walking in the broad path, doing their own thing. And there's few walking, obeying the Holy Spirit and walking the narrow path. And some will want to walk on it, and others on the broad path, which leads to all vanity. But guess what? They'll find out in the end. I saw something online of a man. He's running, pursuing. He's dressed up in a suit, and he's pursuing these bills in front of him that are dangling with chains on it, dangling. While he's running, the bills are jingling back and forth. And in the end, his clothes wear out and come off of him, and he turns into a skeleton, and he falls into a grave that says, rest in peace. That's the pursuit of the world. So we thank you, Father, and we're so sorry. We're so sorry for doing life as we think. You're the only one that can test our hearts. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. Show us what is in our hearts, that we may not offend you. And lead us in the way everlasting, the ways that are eternal, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give me 1 second here. Okay. All right. All right. And we're going to minister to people tonight. It was a short message, but I hope some messages popping up. I hope it hits you this week as you're doing things, that you start thinking about your life and what you're doing. Are you walking in vanity? In pointlessness, in uselessness? Or are you walking, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, having him lead you and guide you in everything, in all truth? Amen? So, all right, let's begin. The first caller is 402-214. Your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. It's Sharon in New York. So I got lucky. Hi, honey.
Hey.
I liked your message.
Amen.
That was good.
I hope you...
And the Bible reading. Yeah.
Yeah. It was short, but I hope that short message carries throughout the weeks and months.
Yeah.
It helps all of us to remember, because he's coming soon, and we have to be ready. And do we want to be ready with uselessness, things that are that we've pursued that were pointless? Or do we want to be on target and be, you know, walking the way he wants us to walk, pursuing him? Amen. So what would you like to talk about tonight? Do you have a testimony, or do you need prayer? Well, before we do, let me pray for you, okay? Let me put you on mute and let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Ms. Sharon, Father God. I just thank you, Lord, because thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm seeing you. I thank you, Lord. And it's almost like a light is shining over your head. It's almost like it's illuminating your path. It is illuminating your path, and it's almost like you're able to see, because there's this light that's shining on you. And I believe that light that's shining on you, Ms. Sharon, is the Lord. And that's why you're able to see things clearly now, better than ever before, because you're in his word, and things are making sense to you. So we thank you, Lord, for Ms. Sharon. I pray, Father God, that you continue to give her wisdom, your light, illuminating her path in everything that she goes to do, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, because even the best is yet to come. There's more. And we thank you, Father God, for touching her life, Father God. And as you're touching her life, Father God, even her walk is healthy. Her walk and her talk are healthy. There's something about that illumination that's helping your whole being. And you're able to, I don't know if it's just a spiritual walk or even a physical walk. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Daniel, do you have anything for Ms. Sharon?
I do. And it's Jeremiah 29, verse 12 to 13. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So I know that you're speaking to him, and you're speaking to him from your heart, and he will listen and he will answer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for both of those. I don't walk very well at all. And, I mean, literally, I have to use a cane or a walker. And it is very, it really inhibited me to be able to do anything, even get to church or to be with my grandkids and stuff. It's and I prayed about it the other day, but that would be great to be able to, you know, I need to spiritually walk better, but I also need to physically walk better. And I am trying to discern a lot of things.
Yeah. I sense that as you're seeking him and continuing to walk with him, that it's going to affect your walk and your talk. It's changing you. I do feel like there's a change taking place in your life. And the more you do it, the more you're going to see that. I'll give you an example. There was this teacher in the Word. He would teach the Word, right? I don't know what church he was from, but I heard his testimony where one day he got attacked, had an illness in his throat, and he couldn't barely talk. He would talk in a whisper. Wow. But he didn't stop. He continued to give Bible studies, and he continued to stay in the Word. And they're recording him in this one particular day. I guess they constantly recorded him, I guess, to make the voice a lot louder or something.
Uh-huh.
And this particular day, as he's teaching about the Bible, his voice went from a whisper to the clarity. He got healed even as he was teaching the Word. So as continue to walk in the ways of the Lord, you know, he will, those things will fall off of us and we'll be healed. You know, sometimes people's healings take longer. Some are quicker, some are immediately, some take longer. But as you're faithful and you stay in it, that anointing breaks all that stuff off, and you'll be totally healed. So don't dismay. Continue walking with the Lord. Stay in the Word.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, honey.
Yes. Is there any testimony, anything you want to say tonight?
I don't have a testimony tonight, but I do would like prayers for my grandchildren.
Okay, what are they?
With their spirituality, especially.
Okay. All right. All right, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Sharon's children, grandchildren, Father God. Father, we ask you to give them a thirst and hunger for you, for your word, for the things of God. Touch them so deeply, Father God, that they want more of you. Give them a thirst and hunger. Give them the mind of Christ. Touch their walk. Touch their walk, their talk. Place people around them, you know, that will minister to them in ways that they'll understand, that they'll get it. But sometimes a prophet is not a prophet in his own home. Sometimes it takes others to open them up to what God is trying to say, and it's easier for other people to say it. So I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you place people, godly people, around them to minister to them. And not only for them and anyone else that has grandchildren on the line, I pray, Father God, for each and every one of them, Father God, that you do the same thing too, that you bless them, Father God, you draw them close to you, Father God, especially in these last days, Father God. Prepare the hearts of our grandchildren in Jesus' name. Danny, do you have anything you want to pray about or say concerning that?
Yeah, I was going to tell Sharon that I know you have a cane or you have a walker, but whenever you run across someone that you see with a cane or with a walker, your prayers for them would be heard so boldly because you know exactly what they're going through. And
right.
That always, you know, so whenever you have that opportunity, you know, boldly pray
right.
for those that be in the same position because, you know, you really, really understand their hearts and what they've gone through. And I know the Lord will listen to you. Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me, I always figured that because whatever I was going through, it seemed like there would be someone right behind me that I'd run into that was going through something I just went through so I would be able to understand. And I'm glad you reminded me, though, about that. I do try to pray for, you know, things that I've been through to someone else, you know, to stop it from happening to someone else. But I specifically, you know, I'm in New York, and it is so freezing here. I mean, they've got red alerts. I'm in the city, New York City, and I wanted to pray for the homeless and the animals.
Oh, wow.
We've had a lot of animals, and I think about the homeless in this weather, you know?
Wow. Yeah, myself and Daniel have thought about that. And even if it's just one thing that you can do or a few things that you can do to help people, you can't do so many things, but sometimes people think that because they can't do a lot, that they can't do anything at all. And that's not true. Maybe if you have a coat that you're not wanting, that you're going to give to donate or something, maybe while you're driving or something and you see somebody that's homeless, give them that coat. It may not be their right size, but sometimes even a big coat is better than the right size because they can layer.
They can layer
and be warm. And so whatever we think that we don't, you know, might not be useful, may be useful. And so like a lady that I know, she has trouble walking. And she has a walker, and she wanted to take care of the homeless somehow. And so after Christmas, she had all these stockings, and she got one lady to fill them up with sanitizers, with candies, with fruits, with all the stuff. It was past Christmas, but she filled them up. And so when she's in her car, she went out and would give them to whoever she saw that were home. And she gave them all. She gave them all out. And so, see, she couldn't walk and do a lot of things. And she needed herself. She was needy herself. But yet, she gave of what she had. And so there may
right.
be something that you have that you can give, or even just your prayer God can hear those prayers and have others come and help them, help the animals.
Right.
You know, it's heartbreaking seeing animals hurt. And in this cold, imagine if we're cold in our own buildings, imagine these people outside. How hard that is. So let's lift up a prayer. Lead the prayer, Ms. Sharon. I'm from New York, so I feel real bad for the people in New York, too. I know I've seen the homeless in New York and even where I live. So would you like to pray?
Dear Lord, please hear our prayer for all those in our city, in all cities, but especially here in New York, where there's so many immigrants and homeless and have no one to help them or anywhere to go. This weather is so cold. Please send helpers to them that they may find shelter and stay out of the terrible cold and protect the animals as well, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And you know that where you're living at is cold. I know. I remember as a teenager walking the streets of New York, and it is cold. It is really cold.
Well, I guess
cold.
It's worse than it's been in, you know, forever. It's been really bad. Tonight is going to be even worse. You know, it feels like 30 below. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
but then it's going to warm up again, so hopefully. But we have a real problem with the immigrants, with busloads of immigrants were brought. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that's everywhere now.
Then they're kicked out of the hotel they were in, and, you know, they're sitting out on the walks, and it's just terrible.
They're in airports
not taking
and care on, sitting on the floor. It's getting bad.
Yeah, it is. So, thank you for praying.
It's a pleasure. I love to pray and ask the Lord, because I know that all we have to do is pray and believe, and He'll do it. He's the one that's going to do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, I remember having a dream once where it reminded me of what you saw, what God showed you. Because in the dream, I was standing under this this beam of light had come down, you know, on me. And it was the Lord, you know, and I raised my hand. And it was healing. It was, it was, what I was supposed to do was praise. We were singing. Glory be to God. That's what I was doing, was singing. And what was taught to me was that's how you heal. You know, you heal people is by praising God. That's how He does it. And it was strange. There was this lady with a bad arm, and so I just put my hand on her arm with my left hand, and then the right hand I raised up, and I was just singing to God in this beam of light, you know, not really thinking about anything else. And then when I stopped, the lady was healed. So it was teaching me how to do that. But it was that beam of light that you talked about. And you talked about healing, so maybe that's related.
Well, there,
you know,
is a scripture. There is a scripture that comes to mind. It's in Deuteronomy. Danny, you know which one it is that I'm talking about? Where every week on Saturdays, on Friday and Saturday, the head of families in the Jewish homes, they pray this scripture. And it's in Numbers 6:24-25, and it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. I just remembered it because I have the scripture up in my home, and I look at that and I remember to pray that over my family also. So it's the Lord's presence, his being, that shines on us. He's the only true light. He's the light of the world. So,
right.
Amen. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Well, okay, Michelle, I thank you for calling. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so
and
much.
Stay warm, my dear.
Yes, I
and
am.
Stay layered
I'm very
up,
lucky.
Okay?
I am. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Well,
bye-bye.
Well, bless you, dear. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next caller, 804-218. Your name and where you're from.
My name is Annie, and I'm from Virginia.
Hey, Miss Angie. We missed you last week.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're fine. We're fine. Allow us to pray for you. Give us a minute. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Angie. Thank you, Father. Father God. Thank you, Father God, for her hands, for her hands. There's something about your hands that I sense that the Lord is touching your hands, and it's for healing, for healing. There must be something that he wants you to do or someone to lay hands on. I see that the Lord, something about your hands. Your hands. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you touch her hands, that you anoint her hands, Father God, that she will lay hands only when you say to lay hands, Father God. That Father God, that when she senses it, that she'll sense it in her hands, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless her and keep her. And Lord, help her, Father God, wherever she goes and supply all her needs, Father God. And give her the wisdom that she needs, the true wisdom that comes from God. In the name of Jesus. Daniel, do you have anything for Miss Angie?
Yes, Miss Angie, I usually study prior to these calls. So the one that I have down here is from the book of Nahum. It's chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. And he knows that you totally trust him. Amen. You're a beautiful spirit, and I know that you totally rely on him. And I know that, as Carmen says, that your healing hands are set up to work. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Miss Angie. Okay. Are you there?
I gotta unmute too, because I got want to make sure I don't have outside noises bleeding in, messing me up. Sometimes Randy doesn't mute. Well, I've got to the point where I try.
So how are you?
You know, Randy has a tendency to hit some buttons. Fidget. He's a fidgeter.
So what's new?
So how are you guys?
Oh, we're okay. Daniel's been experiencing some cold, just like Miss Sharon in New York. How's the weather where you're at?
We dipped down to the teens. Yeah.
That's cold. How are you keeping warm?
Yes. I have a nice furnace that's cooking now. It's blowing the heat.
All right.
It's like burning money.
Exactly, burning money. The bill comes at the end of the month.
I got money to burn, bless God.
So what have you learned? Anything new that you've learned health-wise?
Well, I learned that our bread is poison. Does that help?
A lot of people with
that's a kicker, isn't it?
And that's funny because Jesus is the bread of life, but it's not, the bread is not made the way they used to make it.
The man-made bread that they have out here now has so many additives and enrichments and stuff that it has, it's causing a lot of your digestive problems, which, you know, if your digestion's messed up, the rest of your system is messing up. So,
yeah.
You know.
I guess some people are more sensitive to it than others, and some have a more a tolerance to it, but it's still bad for them.
Well, they're saying that the best way to do bread is to get the whole barley and grind it, you know, hours before you bake, because that's the natural process of it. And if you, you know, we used to have our local people that when you grew the stuff, you took it and had it milled, or you milled it, you know, you can store it. It has a life, you can store it for a lifetime. It has no expiration. That's good to know, because when they stored it, you know, during the Egyptian time, that it was actually sustaining the people because it had the full nutrition in it. The bees, you know, all of that. So, you know, I looked into that a little bit today and pondering it. So, you know, you make it, you can grind enough to make, you know, like 4 or 5 loaves a week. You know, you just bake it yourself. And it'll change. They say that, I think it was like 60% of your health issues is coming from the bread you're eating. Because of all the things in it. So because it's clogging up your system and the messing up the absorption and the secretions, it's really messing people up and causing all kinds of problems.
Well,
and the lady discovered, she knew a little bit about it, but her family, from 1994 forward, she has been successfully using fresh breads to heal and fresh food, you know what I mean, whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
Get off the junk is what they're saying. Get out of the processed foods. It's bad. So.
Yeah.
That's what I'm learning more.
How would you mill it? How would you grind it?
Well, you can grind it. I mean, when I was in China, I watched them take little rice and grind it right there with just a little turn stone kind of thing or turn wheel, you know?
Mm-hmm. So use the whole thing?
They put rice in it and they turned it and the powder came out, which made fresh rice powder or flour, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we just have to go back to some of the old school things to pick up some of the nutrition value that we need, and it will help cut back all the unnecessary purchases that we're doing too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you
uh-huh.
eat good bread and good vegetables, you know, with good meat, you won't require as much because it'll feed your body better and you'll get healthier. So that's what I'm leaning towards. I'm looking at the whole picture, the whole spectrum.
Have you tried it?
Well, I'm just researching it at the moment, but what I'm going to do,
okay.
I think I'm going to go for it. I think I am going to buy, you know, and make the own bread.
Oh, that's Well, I lived in Germany, and their bread is super heavy. When you eat their bread, I mean, that's all you need. It's heavy. It's heavy. They have all kinds of bread, and it's amazing. It's heavy bread. I remember as I had my child in the hospital, and they would feed us in the morning, you know, a slice of bread with jelly, the jam that they had, or whatever spread that they had for breakfast with tea. And it was a heavy. It filled you up. It really did. So I imagine that's part of what it is.
Well, they say America has the most healthy wheat, you know, bread, wheat, barley. Not mm-hmm. Russia. It's America.
Huh.
According
yeah.
to,
yeah.
you know, this person. So, you know, it's non-GMO. You have to, you know, you have to wait for your order, but you can get it. You can order it whole and make it yourself. You don't have to get
mm-hmm.
processed enriched wheat. You can buy direct.
Even what they say is wheat bread is still not good. I remember taking a nutrition course years back, and the professor was telling us, you know, it's the same garbage. It's the same thing. It's not good.
Well, that's what
people
think.
Eating wheat.
They did this in the dark ages too. They added, you know, people were eating. They thought they were eating flour, but they weren't. A lot of it was powdered like concrete material.
Ooh.
You know, like a mixture of it wasn't really, it looked like flour, but it wasn't, and it messed up, made a lot of people sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first time
wow.
that the flour, the bread, you know, because humans eat a lot of bread. They bake
yeah,
bread. It's a long tradition, and, you know, it's a main staple. So, you know, look at some of the main things that we're doing and maybe bring it back home to where it's wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
So our main things are wholesome and feeding and nurturing, you know, not just fillers.
Yeah.
Maybe our bread is like the rest of our life filled with so much entertainment and the vanities of life that we're not being, it's not life. It's vanity.
No.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
that's what y'all were talking about. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of things in it because of vanity. You know, greed's in vanity.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they want to make something that
mm-hmm.
is everyone's daily staple to where it's not. They're not really feeding.
Using their own wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're using their own wisdom to do things, and it's hurting other people.
Yeah. Well, it's like, actually, if you think about it, it's common sense. You got to know your sources and what you're putting in your body just as much as, you know, what you're feeding your mind, what you're feeding in your spirit. You got to know your sources.
Well, it's like the spiritual stuff.
Aspect,
we have to be careful
well.
Who we're listening
Aspect.
To. Because
right. You know,
what they're
Joel
feeding
Austin
us.
He's a great motivator.
Yeah.
He can, you know, but, you know, his motivation, you know, is his platform. That's what he does. It's not. Is it gospel based somewhat, but is it fully gospel based with pure intentions? I kind of don't think so.
Well, one time the Lord warned me.
You know what I'm saying? There's more to the story.
Well, this comes into play with the bread that we're talking about and the spiritual stuff. I remember having this spiritual leader in, because in the military, when you're overseas, it's a little hard to find churches, right? So we had this leader with one of the churches that were on post for the military, and the Lord gave me a dream. And in that dream, this person that was leading us was giving me two loaves of bread and offering me two loaves of bread. And I said, no, I don't want your loaf. I have one. I have this loaf of bread. And then when I woke up, I realized Jesus is that loaf of bread. He's the bread of life. I only need one. I don't need all that stuff that they wanted to give me. And so we have to be careful nowadays with what people offer you as the word of God, the food, or the spiritual food, because they can get you sick physically and spiritually. You can
absolutely be
in big trouble.
I agree with that. I've been exposed to that, and it can, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we have to be careful who we follow, especially nowadays that people are, you know, are putting out things that are not biblical, like what we were talking about today with the Pope saying that homosexuality wasn't a sin, that Amy Grant was agreeing with her gay niece and helped her with her wedding. The Osteens saying that they would be that they would go to a gay wedding if there were somebody that they would respect. Hello. Hello. We have to be careful.
You know, I have something to say about weddings and churches, and it may sound a little nasty, but I went through a sickness that where the state, I didn't sell my marriage, I kept my marriage. Well, it discriminated against me, you know, financially, and it did some damage. And you know, to discover that the church with the 501(c)(3) has agreed with the that they're licensed to marry in the state, to be recognized as a state originator of marriage, matrimony, to perform the ceremony, to be that person to perform the ceremony, but they have to go according to the state guidelines. So in order to keep the 501(c)(3), or whatever you want to call it, the 503(c), or may not be a 01, I don't know, but the 3C thing, you know, what a lot of things are going around. You know, the money is based on it for nonprofit organizations. The church has also agreed to those terms. And when the state says that you can't discriminate, and the state also says that you're not able to marry anyone without getting state papers, which the state papers is for tax purposes, which is bringing two businesses, independent businesses, together to operate under one license.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even.
Yeah,
holy.
You do have to have.
You cannot go to a minister with a state, registered with the state, will not marry you unless you get a state
without
license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in most places.
Within the church, between God and the people, they're bringing in the government over top, and then God and the people. The government dictates first, and then they use God, you know, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
In other words, if a minister is willing to marry two people that don't want to be recognized by the government, but yet still call it holy matrimony, a man and a woman, I think
that's okay. They don't have to register with the state.
Yeah.
And I challenge, that's the part I challenge. Why does the state have to be involved? Now, if they want state recognition,
you said it at the beginning, it's for
a marriage is marriage means contract.
Yeah.
Well, if you follow the money, the follow the money will dictate the intention of the law or the what they're representing.
And you know what they're doing, the church is doing too, is because of that, people are not. Are not getting married, and older, and I'm talking about old people, because I remember when I went to VA with my ex-husband, and there was a high-ranking retiree, and he was in a wheelchair, and he was being pushed by this nice older lady, and we sat down, and she told me everything about her, that they lived in one of these homes. And she had her own room, and he had his own room, and they met each other, and they fell in love. But because if they got married, they would lose a lot of money because of
right.
the taxes and all that. So they chose not to get married. But they were together. And I was like, and then I know a family member's mother-in-law that is doing the same thing. She lives with a man, but he's not her husband by law, but they live like husband and wife. And it's forcing people to live in sin because
well, the law
it's affecting
the land,
their pockets.
Well, the law of the land, that's what I'm saying. They wanted to abstract the father out of the home, which now we have orphan children. The laws that they're passing and impeding on people, that's not the law that they wanted. This isn't what they wanted. You know, that's not, you know, and the church agreed to do it.
Mm-hmm. So
the church is in
work.
It. Well,
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm saying. The church has to come out from it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up the definition, you know, of the marriage ceremonies is friends and family coming together, celebrating the union of the two with their, you know, as a community celebration of two people coming together to have union, to enjoy life together.
Mm-hmm.
That's the holy matrimony between a man and a woman. You
yes.
know, the church is the one that's involved in the state and getting all of that mixed up in it. And they didn't stand up and say, you'll not do this to our people.
Yeah, when I first heard about it, I was like, well, she's setting a bad example. But you know what? It is true. The church is put in a corner where it's allowing the government to do that, and it's causing people
so,
to...
You know, in order to come out from her, you know, there should be ceremonies that people can celebrate to be in a holy matrimony that doesn't even involve the government's recognition.
Mhm. Yeah, I understand what
you're saying. If you want my opinion, that's my opinion. You know, we all can, you know, come to, you know, since I've got a reason. But, you know, when I looked up the definition and I looked at, you know, looked up all of these things, because, see, I was caught in that, you know, America's crap. You know, I ended up, you know, taking the consequences. I didn't sell my marriage and then I got kicked all the way down to the dirt. You know, and by the grace of God, you know, there's resurrection, you know. But it isn't that it was because of what was going on was proper and right.
Yeah. Well,
you know, there's a lot of injustice in some of what's been allowed to go forth. And I think this was done in the 70s. It's when the church agreed to do this. Lots of churches agreed to do this in the 70s, late 60s or 70s. Some of the top people, evangelical, Catholic, all, you know, all of the head religions
Mm-hmm. Wow. I didn't know that.
And they knew that the homosexual thing was going to come into play. They knew that, but they took the 501c3 anyway. They knew that they knew this was coming. So
well,
it was almost like a
Jesus
moment.
Well, when
anyway.
Jesus comes, he's going to bring order to all of this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, it was a Jesus moment amongst our leaders and its people anyway. I believe in holy matrimony, absolutely.
Yes, I do too. And so, I mean, something's got to happen. And it's only when the Lord comes, because I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Well, I mean, it isn't about them changing anything. We, the people, can change it. We have the power. Each individual has their power, you know, to change it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's a way out of this. We just gotta start somewhere. You know, we will have holy matrimony, which is man and woman as God established. We will have these things.
Mm-hmm.
According
so what do you
to
suggest?
The church and the church principles, huh?
Well, what would you suggest as a change?
As a change that the church would offer unions to the in holy matrimony without involving the state and the government. That they're no longer allowed to dictate what they can and can't do within in its structure. Come out.
Okay. So they
come
would,
out.
When they file their taxes, they would file as
you file your
whatever
taxes, and then you fight it in court. You file your taxes and fight in court. I can't, you know, that's all I know. You have to take it. You have to change the laws in the land. Sometimes it
mm-hmm.
takes just a petition of 200,000 signatures can change a law in some states. A certain amount of signatures presented to the ruling government can change a law and bypass their voting. There's different ways.
Yeah.
See, we're just not educated in the law. Jesus was very educated in the law. He knew the scriptures. He knew the law. He
mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, the Pharisees' job, the scribes and the Pharisees' job was to challenge Jesus on those laws. And he answered them according to the law of a higher standard that they were even operating in,
mm-hmm.
which astounded them. He didn't break the law.
Yeah. No.
He stood for the law, but he expanded on what that law was.
Amen.
A lot of it is that we have some things sound holy, and all of a sudden you get that one little sound that twists it, that takes it for a whole different twist, and it's like, wow, you just took us down a different path. We were heading right, now we're left.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know,
at first, years ago, I saw that, and then now I understand how these people feel, but at the same time, they're in a predicament because you have to follow what the law says at the moment. And
until it is to the point where the law is anti-God, then what do you do? If the law becomes
uh-huh.
anti-God, what are you gonna do? What are you
mm-hmm.
gonna be able to stand for? Are you going to stand with the law? Because man made it. That's where we got to, you know, say, ho, ho, ho.
Come out of it.
We can't go that way.
And it's coming to that point that we're coming out of different systems. And
right.
I believe
I think
that
people
Papa
thought that, we were all good working together and was working for the good, but then when they found out that the good wasn't good, that it just looked like it was trying to be good, then, you know, you're caught up in a snare and you got to cut yourself free.
Yeah.
And that's our, you know, that's why God is, you know, you're led by His Spirit. You know, He teaches you by His Spirit.
Yeah, there are many things that we're going to come out of, and we have to be paying attention and praying, and pray for Prophet Randy. He did say that he was going to show us when it was time, you know, to start cutting off from
there's
all
the
things.
There's a lot of things within that system is messed up, and mm-hmm. you know, the church is entwined in it, and we just got to start, you know, pulling ourselves out of the thistles, the thicket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cutting ourselves out of it.
And we really have to be prayerful so we can hear correctly. Because if you're not praying and you're not seeking God, you're not going to hear what God is saying and what God is saying through His prophet.
Yeah.
Because it may sound like one thing and you're like, what? What is He saying? You got to be paying attention and you got to be putting your life in order. So... It's coming.
We're learning. Yeah. We're getting it bit by bit. You know, God's not overwhelming us so far. We're able to, you know, take it step by step, bit by bit.
But it's coming
close.
It's coming fast. We don't have. That's why I'm talking about all these things about vanity and telling the truth and. And, you know, each week there's a message that prepares you to go further and to think about what God wants you to line up with, because He's coming soon. And when He finally comes, it's not time to prepare. Then you're already behind the curveball. You need to get ahead of the game, and you're going to be having to run instead of continue walking. So, there's a lot of stuff that's coming, and if we're not going to be able to stomach, because we won't be able to understand it, we have to prepare now. We have to get in the scriptures. We have to get into prayer. We have to get it.
We're in a time where there's a lot of information available at one time, and a lot of exposures, and you know, it's designed to overwhelm us. You know, so we need to just kind of take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. God's still God.
Mm-hmm.
He's not surprised. We're all where we're at.
and move away from all of that and spend time with Him, because your understanding
absolutely.
And the clarity and all that stuff comes when you spend time with Him. And then it all makes sense. But if we're, you know, focus on the world, it's going to be, oh my goodness. And that's where a lot of people get into fear because they're not understanding what's going on. So,
absolutely.
There's
a lot of shifting and changing going on right now.
Yeah, and we have to tell our family
there's a lot of change.
As best as we can. Because if we don't, it's going to be so much for them to process. It's going to be hard. So give it to them little by little, but give it to them. Don't wait, you know, and then repetition, just like Prophet Randy does with us. He repeats so that we can get it, you know, like a mother does with her children. She repeats.
Wash your hands. Brush your teeth. Brush your hair.
You said that already.
Take your bath.
Amen.
Let's get the basics, people. Eat your vegetables.
Do you have anything, prayer or anything else you want to say?
No, I was just calling in just to... fellowship.
It's always a pleasure hearing you, and you gave us something to think about today. So thank you for that. All right. Daniel, do you have anything for Miss Angie?
No, I just love listening to her. And like you said, I think back to my parents, and they'd be millionaires now because everything they ever did was organic. They packed everything.
Yeah.
I never realized that, you know, why, but looking at, you know, all this organic food and stuff, I think we grew up with organic. That's, you know, my parents would pack for the rainy days, you know. And I just, like I said, it's come full circle, and we need to go back to the basics. I totally agree. Amen.
Amen. All right. All right, Miss Angie, it's a pleasure.
All right.
And
God bless you.
Away.
Love you.
We love you, too. Well, okay. Bye-bye. All right. The next caller, 111111. Who's Miss 111?
Hi, woman of God. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, Miss Barbara, how are you? Let's pray for you first, okay? Let me mute you. All right. Thank you, Father God, for Miss Barbara, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this is February, and I know that a lot of people celebrate the Valentine thing, but I just saw you, like, holding a heart, like sharing a heart. That's what I just saw when I mentioned your name. It's like you're showing, you're giving your a heart, and I guess it's you're giving love away. Thank you, Father God, for that heart that you're giving Miss Barbara to give to those around her, Father God. It's not because of Valentine's Day, because of the heart of the Lord. She's sharing Jesus. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. She's sharing more of Jesus. And it's not a little heart. It's a big heart, what I see you holding up. And so thank you, Lord. I pray that, Father God, that you would just allow her to encounter the people that you want her to share that heart with. And we thank you for her life, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for that strong woman. That strong woman of God that loves you, Father God, and keep her healthy, Father God. In Jesus' name. Daniel, do you have anything for Miss Barbara?
Hey, Miss Barbara. I'm just, I went to Psalms 116, 5 and 7. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I think that you have a basic outlook on, you know, what our walks should be like, and you're always reaching out to others. So we just ask our Lord to continue to bless you and that his favor shine upon you, that his light shines through you as you, you know, teach others, you know, preach to them, and just have them walk in the word. Amen.
You know, it just came to me, you know, loving God and loving others. And that's, Miss Barbara is like that person that gives the true love without, you know, no frills, no frills. I sense that God is going to allow you to do that, to give the love with truth. Because truth truly loves people. When you give truth, you truly love people. And this is what we've been talking about. That we can't just love people the way they want to be loved. We have to love them with truth. And so we thank you, Lord, for that love in Jesus' name that she's sharing with others in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Miss Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, man of God, Daniel. What did you say your name was?
I am Daniel.
Okay, praise God. Thank you, because you both were accurate, because that's what I was praying today for Sunday, and I wanted to love the people in a way that the Lord would love them but give them truth. And and I was just telling some God about how I don't want my heart to be heavy, but I want it real and you know, shooting straight from the heart and not from the flesh, not from the lips. But I did tell the Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in his sight. So, and that's what I had been praying, because I said, I'm not talking tonight. It's not for me. And I'm going to pray for Shayla, and that's what I'm going to ask for. But then as you guys begin to talk, and I'm like, uh-oh, everything sounds so, you know, so right on point. Because I said, Lord, yes. I need you to heal my heart, because I didn't want to walk in vanity. I didn't want to be more than, but stay humble. And I tried to hide a lot of things, but it'd be the great things, and it'd be testimonies, and some things some people are not ready for, some things they are. And so I said, well, Lord, you got to help me on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, he will.
Everybody, they say, yay, Lord, you know, and I have to pursue my enemy, I have to pursue, but I have to remember that we're also exercising spiritual authority through all of this. And when the Holy Spirit manifestation started happening, I just kept telling the Lord, I just want to be ready for signs, wonders, and miracles. I just want to be ready because, you know, there's going to be a lot of challenges, you know, that we have. And when you've been challenged mm-hmm. by people, your enemies, and family, and I have to smile, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, I still have to smile. Not that I'm pretending, but I need them to see the goodness of the Lord and where we came from and where the Lord has brought us back from. And then I'm keeping my eyes focused on the prize. So, I'm just asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I love you so much. And this was my prayer. This was every word. And I was asking mm-hmm. him, I love you, but how do I love the people when they don't understand you, Lord? How do I love them out besides a hug and a smile? And, you know, and so you read that to me.
Yeah,
and I
well,
said, wow.
That's what I saw. That's what I saw, you holding out a heart. And so he's helping you. He's going to help you to accomplish that. Because anything that we do, if we do it in our own strength, like I said before, it's vanity. But when we ask the Lord, and you have asked the Lord to help you, he's going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a confirmation
sure.
that he's giving you so that you yeah. can see, so that others can see what it takes to live for the Lord. And he guides us. He leads us. He gives us what we need to accomplish whatever it is that we need to do for him. Wow.
Glory, glory.
That's amazing.
Wow. I'm in awe.
Well, think of us. We're on the other end. We're just saying, we're like, you know, saying what we're sensing the Lord telling us, but we're not, we don't know. We just
mm-hmm.
are obedient to say it. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're more in awe than you are.
Wow.
This is amazing.
And you didn't even know I prayed. I said, Lord, stir up the gifts in me. Stir them up. Stir them up. Because we walk by faith, but not little faith, big faith. And closed mouth don't get fed, but a wide mouth, open mouth, praising God, talking
mm-hmm.
to him get fed. And I was just, hallelujah. I said, now let me pray for my granddaughter. Her mom just picked her up. And I was just praying for her because we call her Sky. That's her middle name. We call her Sky. And she always wanting to hear the song about a sky full of stars. And we just laugh and laugh because she said, come on, Nana, do the, it's like a ballerina. You have to dance with me. You have to dance. I said, okay, Sky. And so I want to pray for baby Skyla.
Skyla, okay.
Let me see if I'm saying it right. Baby Skyla.
Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Sister Barbara's granddaughter, Skyla. Father God. And
Shyla.
We just thank you for her life. Oh,
her
Shyla.
Name.
Shyla. And we thank you, Lord, for Shyla, Lord, for her her beauty, Father God, the beautiful joy that flows through this child, Father God, that joy when a child is young and they don't have a care in the world. And, Father God, we have to learn from that, Father God, you know, not to worry about the things around us, not to have a care in the world, but to come before you with this joy to worship you, Father God, and be free. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this child. We ask you, Father God, that you would just raise this child up in the ways that this child should go. When she is a woman, Father God, help her not to depart from those ways that she's been taught. But I pray, Father God, that you shield her, you protect her, Father God, and put good godly people around her, Father God, as she grows older and learns more about you and learns more about this world, that she will not be enticed with the things of this world, but that she'll be drawn through the Spirit of God. And we thank you for her life, Father God. I thank you for that joy. And let nothing steal her joy, the joy of the Lord, which is true joy. And we thank you, Father God, for that, that no matter what circumstances she may live in her life, that her joy is in the Lord, in the name of, and that is what gives her strength, in Jesus' name. Daniel, do you have anything for her? For Shiloh?
I was just laughing, not just Shiloh, but Skye, if she got, you know, Grandma to dance with her. It's amazing what our kids can get us to do. Yeah, I've done the same thing with mine. I'm, you know, crazy things too, but it's just, you know, because you give them that joy, you know, that they look at you, you know, for that. It's really guidance from us to them, right? And it's the Lord working through us. And sometimes, especially in these nowadays, you know, the young don't have the same, you know, thought process that we had or close to the Lord. And we all pray for salvation for all of them. But, you know, the children always, even when you're walking down the street, you know, I've always told everybody, you know, notice the kids will double take or look at you because they do see the light. They have a gift of seeing, you know, the innocence, right? And that's mm-hmm. something that's, you know, that I cherish so much is that, you know, when you can, you know, just smile at somebody. I even told Carmen that she was having a bad day at work. I said, well, just smile at the one giving you the hard time because, you know, don't let them think that they got to you. Just smile and kill them with kindness, right? And it's always work. That's something my mom taught me, you know, years ago. May she rest in peace. And just that, you know, you sometimes you just achieve more by just smiling. It tears them up because they're not able to smile. But, you know, and just move forward. So I just enjoyed you saying that, you know, she wanted you to dance with her, and I'm sure you did. Amen.
Yes. That's perfect because that's what she does. She does. And when people look at her, they say, your teeth are so white. You're so beautiful. And she'll just laugh. And she said, I love you. Can I hold your hand? I said, sure.
Aww.
And she'll dance and she'll play beautiful songs. And she's just a delightful. It's kind of like the green light of God's anointing, you know, when she was talking about the heart. And I was looking at her and I just smiled. She makes me so happy. And she's only 4 years old. And it's just the things that she says and how she handles things. And when things are not right, oh, don't say that. That's not nice. Nana, can we just hug them? Can we just love on them? I said, sure, why not? They love you. And it'd just be like little animals and my rabbit and my little puppy. They're all animals now. And I buy them for her, or her mom will buy them and give them to me. And I'm like, why would I have that? And she said, isn't that yellow pretty? She said, Nana, I just want to see a yellow light. And so I took the little rabbit and just laid it on my bed, and she hugged it. Nana, leave the light yellow. Don't change it red. Don't change it blue. I need you to leave it on yellow. I said, wow, look at the glory of God. It just shines through that little one. And she just makes me happy when I'm sick or I don't feel good. She causes me to feel better. And just beautiful.
Aww.
Yeah.
Thank you. It just makes you laugh.
Yeah. Thank you. That is so beautiful.
My grandkids make me crack up, especially the middle one, middle grandchild. He grabbed a hold of a guitar that I had, and there's a prayer shawl that I have that somebody had given me for a birthday, and he says, "Hey, can I look at the prayer shawl? Can I look at the guitar?" And he puts the prayer shawl on and then plays "Let My People Go." I was like, this kid is something
I
else.
Love that. That's the only thing I say when I hear that song.
"Let my people go," play with the guitar, and I'm like, put that back.
We gotta have a real deep voice, and I can do it really good because I'm real. My voice is so deep, and we just be laughing at it. Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah. Grandchildren are fun. Enjoy them while you can, because they grow up so fast. All right, Ms.
Yes,
Barbara,
I have 11 of them,
like to...
so thank you.
Wow.
You can pray one more prayer. I want to pray that I find my shawl that you mentioned it. I have a purple one, and it was brand new, and I put it in a bag with a file cabinet, and I have not seen it for about a year now, going on two.
Sorry,
I cannot find it.
Help Ms. Barbara find that prayer shawl that she's desiring to find. We ask you to help her to find it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I always ask the Holy Spirit whenever I lose something or can't find it. He always helps me. Amen. Well, God bless
Amen.
You. And thank you for calling. That was fun. And grandbaby.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
All right.
Love. Okay, this takes a while. All right, the next caller, 919-995, your name and where you're from. Okay. 919-995, your name and where you're from. Hello? Are you there? Give them a little time to unmute if they're muted. You have your hand raised up. If you need prayer ministry tonight, raise your hand by dialing 1 and you'll be in the queue. And also let Prophet Randy know if you want to be notified of when our shows are on. He'll give you a notification when the shows are on. All right. 919-995. Okay, so we'll just pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for 919-995. We thank you, Father God, for whatever they're going through right now. We ask you to help them, lead them, and guide them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that you're giving this person, that you're helping them, Father God. And sometimes, you know, our way up is coming down and getting down on our knees, going down, humbling ourselves before the Lord. That's the easy way up. That's the easy way up in the name of Jesus. Daniel, do you have anything for
919-995? Yes, I'm going to go to Psalm 118, 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, trust the Lord in anything that you're praying for. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right. Next caller, 251-229, your name and where you're from. Nope. Wait a minute.
Hi.
Oh, hold on. It's 321-230. I'll get back to the other one soon. 321-230.
Hello.
Yes, who's
Hi.
This?
Hi, this is Aunt Elise.
Oh, Aunt Elise, okay. Give me one moment and I'll get right back to you. Thank you, Lord, for Aunt Elise, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for her life, Father God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just almost sense, you know, like a peace. Sometimes, you know, when God doesn't say anything, sometimes it's not no. It's just not now. And you have to stay in that peace, understanding that sometimes God doesn't say anything because it's not. And don't allow yourself to get all riled up because you're not getting an answer. Sometimes no answer is an answer. So allow yourself to stay in that peace. I sense like you're expecting, you know, someone to talk back to you and you just get silence and you just hear nothing, like right now. You hear nothing, but stay in peace. He's there. Sometimes he won't answer you until he's ready and it's the right time. So Aunt Elise, stay in peace. Daniel, do you have anything for Aunt Elise?
Help me here. I'm seeing that she was outside, like on a bench or a chair, seeking that, you know, just to be alone with the Lord. And like you're saying, it was just, you know, her speaking to God, and she may not have heard the answer, but he was listening. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So let me look for her number again. Aunt Elise, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay, a little tired tonight, a little exhausted, a long day today.
I hear you.
How are you? Thank you, too.
Yeah, it's been a long week, a tiring week.
Yeah. I get it.
So, have any testimonies for me? You know, I love them. I love listening to testimonies.
Nothing really new going on with me too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take things one day at a time. One minute at a time. Whatever I need to do in a moment.
Okay.
I've been a little... I don't know, I'm just kind of tired.
Okay. Well, there's changes in the weather and in the times, you know, things. So the warmer weather will come, and sometimes we feel like that sometimes, you know, with the cold weather. We're like little bears that hibernate. So do you have anything you want us to pray about? Anything you want to share?
Nothing too specific. I don't know if there was anything else that, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke, but if not, then...
Okay. Well, hey, Father God, we just lift up... Uh-huh. Go ahead.
All right. That was okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you.
I'm sorry. I can't make out what you're saying. You seem a little far from the phone.
To interrupt you, I was apologizing.
Oh, okay. All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray and lift up Aunt Elise to you, Lord. And we just ask you, Father God, to, you know, renew her strength, her body, her energy, Father God. And we just pray that, Father God, that you give her wisdom and guidance to know what to do to allow her body to feel better. Maybe the rest, the resting in you, the spending time soaking in your word, Father God, and resting in you, Lord. That's what I sense sometimes. What we need is just, you know, to worship before him. And it's almost like it just energizes us again. And all those things, those cares and the things that are weighing us down get moved off, you know, through the anointing that breaks all that off of us. And sometimes we just need, you know, just to spend that time before the Lord. I remember so many times that when I've gone to church and I felt so tired and sluggish and, oh, I don't want to go. I feel like staying in bed today. And when I have gone and I've gone to the worship and, you know, the reading of the word and all that, and I've come out, I've felt an energy that I didn't have before, and I didn't even drink coffee. And I knew that it was the presence of God, God's anointing, you know, that does that to us sometimes, that it just refreshes us. So we ask God, give Antolise a refreshing of your anointing, of your presence over her, Father God. Touch her, Father God, that she'll be energized. And if there's anything that she needs to do, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit guide her as to knowing what to do. But we just praise you, Lord, for that fellowship time that she has with you and that worship time, and that she won't neglect that and that she'll run towards it instead of away from it and not to a bed, but to your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Daniel, do you have anything for Antolise?
I just pray the Lord's total shalom over her, that she gets a good night's rest, and just let the Lord just, you know, quiet everything around her so she can recuperate from her long, long day, long week, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, sometimes it's just, you know, rest. Rest, resting in the Lord, resting, physical rest. And drinking water. Sometimes we fail to remember to drink water, and not all at once, but slowly throughout the day, because your body absorbs it better. People think that drinking a whole bunch of water at one time, that's good for them. The body won't absorb that. It won't take. It needs to go little by little for your body to accept that. So, you know, refreshing things, you know, fruits that have water in it, that helps. Mm-hmm. So just rest instead of being with anything else. Just rest. It's so good when you rest. You could think clearly, and deep breathing. And while you're breathing and you're meditating and you're in the Word, you're listening to worship music, just breathe deep and allow the Holy Spirit's breath of life to energize you, to build you up again. Deep breathing. Many people forget to breathe, especially with all the cares in the world that just, you know, weigh them down. They kind of like hold their breath. You ever heard, I don't know all the movie of this, but have you ever heard of the movie that says waiting to exhale?
Yeah.
You know, people are waiting to exhale. Well, we need to learn to inhale deep and exhale and not let our, you know, the things around us, you know, hold our breath. You know, waiting to breathe, waiting for us to live. No, we can live now. We have God now. Amen. Okay, I don't know if you're hearing me clearly. I'm hearing clicks.
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you. Amen.
Okay. Yes, and you know, there was this young girl that mentioned something about, oh, I don't like being around this person because they make me anxious. And the other person tells her, well, with COVID and all this stuff that's been happening, everybody's anxious. And it reminded me of something this one lady told me. She had gotten cancer. And the very first thing that the doctor told her after her surgery was that to remember to breathe. And we have the breath of life. We have the Holy Spirit. So how much more is that breath that we take even more precious, even more healing than when people do it on their own without even the presence of God? It energizes you. It gives you that strength, that energy, everything that you need. That breath of life brings healing. Amen?
Amen. Is there anything else that you want prayer for or want to say?
No, thank you so much. Thank you both.
Thank you. You're welcome. I pray you have an awesome week.
Thank you. You too. You guys do the same. God bless you.
God bless. Amen. Good night. All right. All right. 251-229, and I think this is Miss Sarah.
Yes, this is Sarah.
All right. Let me pray for you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for Sarah. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. You know, thank you, Lord. I sense like, you know, like you're walking and not knowing what it is that you need to do. You feel like, you know, what do I do now, Lord? What do I do now, Lord? And it's almost like nothing is satisfying you. Nothing seems to satisfy. But sometimes, you know, when people are in the desert and they're looking for something to satisfy them, you know, some water to satisfy them, they have to dig in deep, you know, in special places for wells where they can get water from, you know, and not everybody can find those wells. You know, some people have these sticks where they can find, I don't know if that's witchcraft or what, but they find where the water is. But we know that our spirit knows where there is water, the water, the living water. And so sometimes we have to go in deep to find that water, And the deeper you go, and finally you'll find the deep waters that are within your soul, that are there, that God will flood from the inside out from your being. And it's going to be like a river flowing out of you. So you have to go in deep. And sometimes at first it doesn't seem like nothing's happening. But then with time, then all of a sudden you feel like gush. And you continue seeking him. And it's not the time to stop. And you continue and more of God, of that word, more of that gush of God's living water starts coming out. So you feel like you're in a desert, like you're dry. Like, where do I go? I don't know where I'm going, God. But you're asking, you're crying out, and he's guiding you. He's going to guide you. But you have to go in deep. You have to go in deep in his word. Deep in his word, because there's some unsatisfactory thing inside of you, something that's not satisfying you, and that's where you're going to find it. That is where you're going to find it, Sarah. It's almost like I see you in a desert, and you're like, where do I go? I don't know where I'm going. But he's right there. He's guiding you. He's leading you. You just have to be still and hear his voice and know and go deeper and deeper, and you're going to be satisfied. But when you do, when you get those first glimpses, don't stop. Don't stop. Continue. And that's what happens to many times, some of us, when we start seeking the Lord and we start hearing his voice, we stop. We get tired, and we don't continue. But that's not the time. That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's more. There's more underneath. So don't stop.
Don't stop. Don't stop. Daniel, do you have anything for Sarah?
Yeah, Ms. Sarah, I just, Lord, show me an eagle flying. Just way, way high up, an eagle flying. So then he took me to, I'm in Psalm 103. Allow me to read it, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. So,
amen.
You know, even so, you will be renewed like the young eagle. Amen.
You know, that's a lesson that the Lord showed me. I went up on a mountain where I live, near a road that we live in, and I saw an eagle, which I believe was an eagle. But I saw, the lesson was that the Lord showed me that when the eagle rises up, he has to flap a lot in order to go up higher. But then once he gets to a certain place where there's a current, he sits on that current and flies on it and rests on that current. And whenever that current changes, that eagle changes with the current and can stay up there for many hours, just riding on the current. And so that's how we are. When we go in deeper in the things of God and seeking him more, we finally get to a place where, oh, this is great. You know, oh, here's the Lord. And then, you know, we don't have to struggle as much. But the trick is to stay where the Spirit of the Lord, when the Spirit of the Lord says, turn here, you turn here. Otherwise, you're coming down. And so we get comfortable and we don't seek God anymore. So as you learn to seek him and follow his direction, he's going to keep you up high like the eagle. Amen?
Amen.
Sarah, how you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me get you back on the other end here. I'm doing well. A lot of the prophetic is flowing, and I thank the Lord for his prophetic words. And he's using you, and he's using the prophet Daniel for his prophetic mouthpiece. What happened with me is everything is so true. I went back to work with the children, with the preschoolers. And I found that, you know, I've been praying. I said, Lord, which way? Here we go with the desert scene. Which way do I need to turn? Do I need to, you know, because I was doing some things with business and the retail side of it and online. And then I said, oh, I miss the children. Maybe I should take it, you know, slow. And that's where the desert part came in, was like, which way do I turn? So that's where that desert part came in. And it was sort of rough in a way, because it's like you were saying, you go in deep to find the water. But once you feel that deep void there, you've got to swim back and realize, you know, I've got to get back to my direction. And that direction which is leading me is in Jesus. So he's the one that's going to tell me which direction I need to go. So, you know, I didn't let go of his hands, but I can say this. I kind of was in that desert for a minute, because what sort of happened is I have to get things in line to where the Lord wants me to be. You know, which direction does he want me to go in?
you know, and hearing his voice, you know, because I'm still there with him, on one accord with him, but I think what happened to me was I started working and all that kind of stuff and was not in the word as deep as I was, you know, kind of losing ground a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, Lord, show me which direction you want me to go. I'm going to just stop here this weekend. And so I stopped and I'm like, okay, you know, do I need to be working with the children or maybe in the public eye, which one do you want me to do? So that's where I kind of start losing a little bit of ground is being in that desert place where you, well, I didn't know what to do. So I just stopped and said, this weekend I'm going to figure it out.
Well, yeah, the Lord will give you what you need to hear. And sometimes, you know, he'll wake you up in the middle of the night and he'll woo you to him. You get into his word and you'll have such clarity because there's a lot of chatter during the day and that doesn't let you hear. Sometimes in the middle of the night, he chooses that. So don't be, don't think it's strange when that happens, that you wake up wide awake and you're like, I need to get back to sleep. But then no, it's the Lord waking you up and taking your sleep away so that he can talk to you. So if you find yourself in that, obey, listen, get up, and then you can go back to sleep and then wake up whenever you need to wake up. Sometimes he'll give you one of the best words when you spend time with him in those early morning hours. So, I mean, he will speak to you. He'll guide you. And sometimes he'll give you bits and pieces. And it's going to be the same message. And you're like, okay, I need this. And I don't understand this. You're giving me this. But what are you saying, Lord? And just keep on. And the message will get clearer and clearer. Amen?
Amen.
And
I believe that.
Calling in because I remember years ago, this lady had a business, right? And she didn't know, and she just went with it, and she prayed about it, and one of the last things that she needed was. She wanted a name for her business. And so there was a service, and one of the speakers, he was an evangelist, but he operated in the gifts of prophetic gifts too. And he says, there's a lady in here. And he looked at her, and he says, you have a business, and you're going to name your business Carousel. And she was like, oh, my God, that was one of the names that she had for her business. So, you know, we do our part with the Lord, and the Lord will confirm things through the prophets. You know, it's not like you're going to get everything from the prophets. We see in bits and pieces. Sometimes he gives us more, sometimes he gives us less. It's just for confirmation. But as you continue seeking him and following him and going towards what it is that you need to do, God will confirm it. Amen?
Yes. Yes. And that is so true, Prophetess Carmen, because he wakes me up a lot. I mean, it will be maybe, I'm thinking around 3-ish or maybe 4.
Yeah.
I know it's him because when I get up, I'm like, you know, ready to seek his face because I know it's him. I'm like, okay. You know, it could be around that time.
Yeah, make sure you have a notebook and write down what it is that he's showing you in the scriptures and what he's speaking to you because we tend to forget. You know, it sounds really good at the moment and we're like, oh, yeah, but you didn't write it down and then you end up forgetting what he's saying.
I mean, you still remember bits and pieces of it, but there's nothing like having it written down. Amen.
Yes, you're right about that. And Prophet Daniel, I wanted to comment on the eagle when he was saying something about Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. I really appreciate it. It will be you will be renewed like the young eagles. It goes back to my mother. On our dresser, it just kind of reminds me of her. She says, "I'm like a eagle. I like to be, you know." And she has an actual statue of a little figurine of an eagle. And we did her dresser and everything. And she would always say, "You can just call me an eagle." And I said, "Mom, what do you mean like that?" She said, "Because I like to fly solo and I like to fly high." She had so much energy.
Yeah, well, solo now, solo with the Lord.
Amen. Aww.
So, Sarah, he must have known that you would relate to the eagle. That's why you sent me there. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So it's been great, and I've learned so much tonight through the prophetic. And thank you for everything. I thank the Lord for both of you.
God bless you. It's always a pleasure.
You bless.
God bless.
All right, my dear. All right.
Stay blessed.
God bless. Okay. I have another caller. But they don't have their hands raised, so I won't pick on you. If you don't dial one, I'll wait and see. We have some time. More prophetic. And some other people have gone in and out, they don't wait. They just, you know, hang up. But that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I hope you listened to the message at the beginning in the archive about vanity. And we really do need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. So did we read the last Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14, Daniel?
Yeah, we did. You want to read again?
Yes, read it again.
One second. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Amen.
So, and this is the Old Testament. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. So follow the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit's leading. And you'll never go wrong. It won't be about you. It'll be about God. It'll be about what to do for others, how to love others God's way. So, amen. All right. So I don't see any more callers with their hands up. And
Carmen,
we pray for 919. I'm sorry?
Can you let me close out with something that he showed me?
Sure. Go ahead.
And for all the listeners, I'm in Revelations 22, and we all know that whenever the Lord repeats something, you know, that's his confirmation. So he took me to Revelations 22:7, and it reads, mm-hmm. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Then I go to Revelations 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then he takes me to Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. So, you know, we keep saying that, you know, we know the time is close, but he showed me that one. So in that last, which is the last chapter of the Bible, he says he's coming quickly three times. Total confirmation. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, the Lord is coming soon, and we all know that. Just keep on listening to Prophet Randy's weekly radio show from Monday through Thursday, Thursday being the communion, and have your communion ready. Even listen to the communion show and take communion daily. Communion is good. It changes you. It changes everything about you. And the more that the times are getting closer, the more we need to be closer to the Lord in every way. All right, everybody. Well, if no one else wants to raise their hand for ministry tonight, I'll finish up. And I pray that you have a wonderful week. And let me pray that scripture over you tonight. I'm a bit tired. I've been working hard this week. Numbers 6:24-25 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody. I pray you have
Amen.
A great
Good
week. Good night.